Okay, so I'm Jack Sankey. As of a year ago, I started in the McGill Physics Department, and I'm setting up a new optomechanics lab. I'm supposed to go this way? Okay. Okay, broadly speaking, my goals are just to use the radiation forces of light, that is the impact that photons give an object when they reflect from it, to create new kinds of micro-mechanical technology. You've all been struck by photons. They don't impart much momentum. In fact, if you held your hand up to the sun and integrated all of the photons landing on your hand, the force pushing down is about 10,000 times weaker than the buoyant force of the atmosphere. So you're not used to thinking about it. But with the devices I'm looking at, if your hand was 50 nanograms and had a very high mechanical Q, it rang for a long time, and you put it in something called an optical cavity, you can actually get quite large, profound impact from a very weak amount of light. So the system that I'm studying looks a little bit like this. It consists of two fixed, high-quality mirrors facing each other, and they form a thing called an optical cavity, and its job is to just trap photons for about 100,000 bounces before they leak out. And then whatever you put inside has a factor of 100,000 stronger interaction with the light. And we put inside, while I was a postdoc, we put inside a 50 nanometer thin membrane, and its drumhead motion was coupled to the light in the cavity through the radiation pressure forces. And what I'm pursuing at McGill, at least, oh dear, spacebar? Enter. Does this count as part of my time? Whoa, okay. You're giving away the fun.
Sorry.
It's okay. Whoa. Okay, so the thing that, one main goal that I'm pursuing right now is this idea of sort of replacing flexible mechanical materials, traditional materials used to make micro-mechanical devices, with light in a cavity. And the idea is to pattern such a membrane into this thing that's drawn this cross with very, very thin tethers, like a few microns thick. And they would then apply a very weak restoring force on this object. So it's very lightweight and floppy. And then we turn on this laser light inside the cavity and realize a very strong trapping force and tune the mechanical frequency up to a high value, much higher than it was before, and just dominate over the materials. And the reason we want to do this is that if you plug in the numbers into the theory, you know, photons in a cavity are very different from a collection of flexible atoms. And it turns out that if you struck such an object in the ideal case, it would ring coherently for weeks or like a month. You know, compare that with a tuning fork. When you strike it, it rings for a few seconds. And that's true about most micromechanical devices. So why do we want this really high Q? Well, if you make a very high Q mechanical element, it's not leaking energy to the environment, and consequently, the environment's not leaking fluctuations into the device. And so you get a much better force sensor out of this. Okay, and so right now we're measuring atoms at McGill, and imagine what we could measure if we had something, and this is with something that rings for, you know, a second. Imagine what we could measure if it rang for a month. The other thing is you could take this to the ultimate limit, okay, and the idea being that you could, if you have a flexible object, you can measure forces. And if you can generate a force between your very high Q mechanical element and an interesting quantum system, that's that the circle there, then if the quantum system's in some kind of superposition state, then the force on the cantilever would be in a superposition state. And so its motion would, its response would be in a superposition. And then, as it turns out, if you bounce photons off the other side, that superposition can be transferred into the light. So this is sort of a universal way to transduce quantum information between different media. And so you could then send it down the hallway and do the reverse process and entangle things at a distance and all of that fun. And I should also mention that a couple of groups, this is sort of pie in the sky for me, but a couple of groups are actually pursuing this idea of if you have a quantum solid object and you put it in two positions at the same time, it could be that, you know, gravity, Penrose has said that gravity might be the ultimate demise of such a state. And so you could learn something very fundamental. And with that, I'll wrap up. Thank you.
Thank you.